This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
The reason I'm prepared for this position is because I've been preparing for this all my life.
Our goal is to compete and really put a fun team on the court that really gets after it.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
We're very talented. I mean, when we go out there and compete at a high level and give a lot of effort, we can be a good team.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All-Star Weekend 2021 is in the books, but hey, should it have happened in the midst of a pandemic? What is up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON20 and you'll get 20% off your very next order. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and partner at Apollo Media, all Houston, all original. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as at Apollo HOU. Before I can even introduce the guest for today's episode, sorry, Chris, I have to just get the news out there. Kevin Porter Jr. has been recalled by the Houston Rockets, which means he will be suited up and in a Rockets jersey for the second half of the season. It's going to be incredible to get to watch him actually play in a Rockets jersey, and we will have that broken down for you later this week as we are joined by both Kaylee Griffin and Ben DuBose for shows later this week. Going to be really exciting to talk to them about the second half of this Rockets season. But for now, joining us today for our recap of the NBA All-Star festivities, whether or not they should or should not have happened, is my good friend and team member at Apollo HOU, Chris McGeehee. How's it going, Chris?
And I'm doing all right, you know, after a night of, we'll call it interesting festivities, you know, I'm looking forward to being able to recap it with you, man.
Absolutely. And I guess we're as good a place to start as any, Chris, you know, after we just saw each other not 45 minutes ago, hanging out, watching the game. You know, I think we're in agreement here, but it's kind of ridiculous to think about the fact that they even had an All-Star game in the midst of a pandemic. I was firmly against it. Many of the players were firmly against it. And yet here we are. They still had an All-Star game. They still did the festivities. I think it was kind of silly. What about you?
You know, it was silly from the beginning, and all of that aside, it wasn't that bad. Things were going fairly well until we get the notification earlier today from Woj that due to contact tracing, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons going to be out of the game. Of course, Anthony Davis was out and Devin Booker's out and all of that combined, and despite the fact that it was a semi-interesting game, we still have to admit that it was diluted. Everything seemed kind of mashed together, at least to me personally, and it just didn't seem like this weekend was given the same level of care and preparation that it has been during the course of a normal season.
I vibe with that, and that's pretty much how we felt kind of watching some of the festivities play out, some of the technical hardware issues, some of the mics that I was commenting on during the game. Just, you know, it just kind of felt very slapdash thrown together in a way. But at the end of the day, there is a lot of money going to charities, going to the HBCUs, you know, that those are great causes and all of that. I feel like there's a way that the NBA could have still gone about doing that without necessarily risking their players being in an environment where you're, you know, again, with COVID-19, everything going on, unnecessarily exposing them to one another, putting all these top tier players, this top talent of the league, under one roof just for one night. Seems a little irresponsible to me. Adam Silver lost some points with me definitely for doing that. But let's go ahead and just get to the actual events now that we did have the All-Star game. Debating whether or not they should have done it is a little silly, but wanted to get those opinions out there. So, Chris, let's start with, we'll just go in order of how these events kind of took place. So we'll start with the Skills Challenge, which first off is such a bland event personally. Like, I don't ever really look forward to it, but it was kind of okay. I mean, it was kind of funny this year, I guess, just seeing the two guys who were thrown in there in Chris Paul and Luka Doncic, who were immediately given passes to the second round, completely suck against their respective opponents of Domantas Sabonis and Nikola Vucevic. That was a little surprising, right?
I mean, absolutely. Well, yes and no. You know, you and I, we were commenting on this during the skills challenge, and you know, this is why you need a warm up. This is why guys like Sabonis, you know, can knock out somebody in the second round who had gotten a bye, because he had already been able to go through this event once. You know, he had his passing down. You know, he had a feel for the shot already. You know, really though, it was entertaining. Wasn't great, but Sabonis, you know, he put on a show. You know, it's not it wasn't the best performance I've ever seen, but you know, it was okay.
And to come back to, especially after being the runner up to Bam Adebayo last year, it's got to feel a little nice for Sabonis to just be like, you know, kind of that little fist bump, like, yeah, I won.
And it's also nice for a guy, you know, from a small market team like, you know, like the Pacers, to be able to get kind of that real recognition in the middle of all of these other all-stars. You know, I mean, of course, you know, he participated in, you know, in the game tonight as well. But, you know, it was just nice to be able to see him get his moment in a night full of moments.
And we know that you, and it's just for, so for anybody who doesn't remember, now, if you listen to this podcast religiously and you have for any length of time, you might remember Chris from the last year's All-Star Weekend festivities. This might become a running annual thing that we do where we get a chance to sit down and talk on this podcast, because Chris is actually a Pelicans fan. He's a native of Pelicans County. And we had plenty of wonderful jabs against each other about the whole Harden trade, Chris Paul and James Harden kind of going at each other in this game, Zion missing his first like 17 dunks in this game, which we will talk about at length in the third segment as we actually talk about the game at hand. So Chris knows a little something about small market teams and them not getting their due, right, Chris?
Yeah, of course. Every single one of the players on the Pelicans are vastly underrated and should make the All-Star game every season. You know, I mean, all kidding aside, the league is better when the bigger teams are better, but that we shouldn't discount the fact that in order for the league to be at its best, you really need kind of all teams but a few really kind of clicking cohesively. And when you have a team like Indy or like Utah this season, or, you know, some of the other ones, it really helps elevate the bigger market teams as well, because it gives, you know, a yin to the yang, you know, and that's what I like to see. So, you know, if it was up to me, you know, Zion and Brandon Ingram would have been in this year, you know, maybe see Ingram in the skills contest, maybe, you know, something like that for next year. That'd be pretty cool, but I'll take what I can get. And I know I speak for, you know, every small market team when I say we need more recognition.
I think that one team that definitely got too much recognition this time around, and Donovan Mitchell kind of showed just as much with his play in the actual All-Star game, was the Utah Jazz, who had not one, not two, but three All-Stars in this year's All-Star game with Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, and Mike Conley. Look, shout out Mike Conley, who we're going to talk about coming up in just a moment when we talk about the three-point contest. It was cool for him to finally receive his All-Star nod, even if it was as the replacement of a replacement, right? With Devin Booker going down. So, I mean, like, you know, it's kind of you'll take what you can get kind of thing. It's crazy that he never received an All-Star nod before this, but he's played his entire career in the stacked Western Conference, so it's understandable. But shout out Mike Conley. He's always struck me as like a stand-up kind of guy, and happy for him to be able to finally say that he, you know, is an NBA All-Star. He is, you know, well-deserving of that honor. And speaking of Mike Conley, we will be talking about him in just a moment regarding the three-point contest, which is our next area, the three-point challenge, as well as the dunk contest. And we're going to talk about those two events coming up in just a moment after a message from our friends over at betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and NHL are all in full swing. And hey, speaking of full swing, MLB is right around the corner. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. You get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head over to their website and sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus on your very first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Did you know that you can get more of the sports news that you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast? Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today, a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Please check out Locked On Today wherever you listen to your podcast, wherever you listen to this podcast. Peter does an amazing job on that show. It's definitely worth checking out. But right now, chatting with my good friend, Chris McGeehee. Chris, let's go ahead and get into the three-point contest, because this is like arguably like it's not I feel like every year, like I kind of vacillate between whether I think I'm going to enjoy the three-point contest more or enjoy the dunk contest more. And this was the year I think you and I can probably both agree that we both enjoyed the rush of the three-point contest and the finish in this one more so than we did any of the dunk contest, right?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. We talked about this earlier this evening, but for me, the three-point contest is ho-hum unless somebody catches fire. And I mean, spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen the results yet, but one Mr. Steph Curry definitely caught fire tonight, and it was thrilling to watch.
It really was. And I firmly, this is a Rockets podcast, right? So like praising Steph Curry in any capacity is like, you know, justification for crucifixion around these parts usually. But when you step away from it and you try to, you know, separate yourself as a Rockets fan from the years of mashing up against the Golden State Warriors, like Steph Curry is, he's the greatest shooter of all time, and he's that for a reason. And watching him torch the competition in this three-point shootout, scoring 31 points, I guess, in the first round of the competition, and then following that up with a like pretty much a buzzer beater finish to edge out Mike Conley of the six guys. So right, of Donovan Mitchell, Zach LaVine, Steph Curry, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Mike Conley. Chris, you and I both were underrating the hell out of Mike Conley in this one, and I feel like we threw some mad disrespect his way, honestly.
You know what? Honestly, I will admit it right here on this pod to all of your listeners. I was absolutely wrong tonight. I had Mike Conley pegged to finish dead last, and I had to eat my words because he, outside of Steph, I mean, he was the biggest surprise tonight. And was absolutely fun to watch during that contest. And yeah, I mean, you and I were completely wrong about him. And honestly, I'm happy to be wrong about it.
Spoiler, the biggest surprise was actually Chris Paul receiving an alley-oop dunk. So, but as far as the three-point shootout is concerned, I will give you that one, because at the beginning of each round, Chris and I are sitting there in my living room, we're watching the game, and we're calling out, okay, like totals, like who's, like what, who's going to land on what? And I don't think you or I got a single final score right during the three-point shootout. We came close on a couple of them, like within a point value or two, pretty frequently, more often than not. But both times Conley stepped up to the line and, you know, got ready to start shooting, you and I were both like 14, 16, like just undershooting like hell on Mike Conley. So we both were being mad disrespectful, you know, in this one towards Conley. But obviously Steph Curry pulled away, had the victory, the kind of buzzer beating victory, I should say, in this one, coming out on top. What was it? I think he had 28 to win, and Conley had notched like 26 or 27, right?
Yeah. So Conley was at 27, which Steph was trailing until, of course, the very last ball that he put up. He was sitting at 26 when he got to the final money ball of the evening, put it in, and won 28-27 over Conley.
Incredible finish. And honestly, I love that they added the Mountain Dew zone balls. So not the Mountain Dew balls, but the Mountain Dew zone balls for the 3 points. I think that's just been a great addition to the 3-point shootout. Now, Chris, let's get to the dunk contest, man. Honestly, like our weakest dunk contest in the last, what, 5 years, maybe a decade, like just not great overall. And frankly, of the three contestants, so we had Obi Toppin, we had Anthony Simons, and we had Cassius or Cassius Stanley. I think it's Cassius, but we heard it both ways, which was already like the start of what was going to be a bad contest when it's like the judges and the announcers don't even know the names of the contestants. We had Anthony Simons and we had Cassius slash Cassius Stanley because nobody knew these guys' names, which was a little ridiculous to start out with. We were both appalled at the first score of the night, which was the 44 for Stanley off of his first dunk, which I thought he got robbed.
I mean, absolutely. And first, but before we really get into this, if you don't mind, Jackson, I need to take 30 seconds here. And I just want to give a huge shout to Aaron Gordon and Zach LaVine because the performances that those guys have put on over the last couple of years has been incredible. On the other hand, though, and I don't know about you, but I will speak for myself when I say because I've watched Aaron Gordon over the last few seasons in the dunk contest, it spoiled me. And what we saw tonight, personally, I got to tell you, I was a bit let down. I mean, with all due respect to Simons and Stanley and Toppin, these are not big name players. We do, of course, have one that was the eighth overall pick to, the first or second biggest market in the league. So, you know, all due respect, Obi Toppin. But when you have a guy like Stanley go out there and the first thing that, you know, we hear the commentator say, you know, this is, you know, Cassius Stanley, who's never made a dunk in an NBA game, you know, you kind of look at each other and you're like, what are we doing here? You know, and don't get me wrong, you're right. He was robbed in the first round, but you can tell that these are guys who, you know, that it's hard for me to say anything negative knowing that I cannot do a tenth of what they can do. But that being said, it still seemed like the quality of the dunk contest this evening was less than that of what we've gotten accustomed to over the last few years.
I'll give you that 100%. And I think that you and I were both in disbelief at Aaron Gordon being robbed last year when we sat down to record this exact same podcast a year ago, or well, you know, a little over a year ago, because shout out COVID-19 for messing up the timeline. But, you know, legitimately, we've had some really great dunk contests in previous years. And personally, like, I'm a big fan of, like, the showmanship element of it. I love, like, when they bring out, like, you know, gags and skits and props and that kind of stuff. And so I got really excited when Simons brought out the little rim, I guess, to set the ball on and then go up and you know, just grab it off the top and dunk it in. And then nothing came of that. I was like, what, this is all it is? Like, and again, it's tough to say that as a guy who, you know, can't dunk at all. You know, even though I'm 6 feet tall, I've never been able to dunk the ball. So it's tough for me to sit here and critique it, but it just didn't feel like any of the dunks were super special. I did think Obi Toppin had a pretty sick one, the one where he double clutched and bounced it like through the legs and went up with it. I mean, that was pretty cool. The kiss dunk that eventually won it for Simons was a little overrated, I guess. Like, everybody was, you know, in love with that one, but he didn't actually kiss the rim. He blew a kiss towards the rim. So it's just, you know, maybe if he had kissed like something on the backboard, like put up like a Fathead poster, you know, something, I don't know. That's just kind of where I'm at. I didn't super duper enjoy it this year. I'd love to see a year, you know, hopefully, maybe it was a little down this year because of COVID-19. Mentioned this to you as well earlier. Maybe it was down because they had reached out to certain players and players were just saying no, they didn't want to participate because of COVID-19 or something to that effect. So maybe we'll get a better one next season. I know that you personally would probably love to see Zion in a dunk contest down the line, right?
I don't want to step on the final segment of the evening, but if Zion is going to perform in a dunk contest like he did in tonight's All-Star game, then I'll super duper pass on that because I would really just rather not have the embarrassment that comes with a bunch of missed dunks. But no, I mean, you know, all kidding aside, if we get the kind of Zion that we saw, you know, via the YouTube clips when he was coming up, if we got that Zion in a dunk contest, 100%, I would love to see that.
Well, I guess that's as good a segue as any for us to jump into our final segment to actually talk about the game, some of the crazy moments, the somewhat uneventful finish given the sound thumping that Team LeBron gave to Team Durant. And we'll get there in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at Built Bar. We've been telling you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now, but now it's time to find out which Built Bar is the best Built Bar. It is time for Built Bar Madness. In honor of March Madness, Built Bar is running a promo bracket to see which one of their flavors will ultimately come out on top. And today's matchup in the Sweet 16 bracket is the Apple Almond Crisp against the Churro Puff flavor, as well as Peanut Butter Brownie against Raspberry. Now in this first round, I'm going to go Apple Almond Crisp. But in the second round, I'm going to lean raspberry. That might be more of an underdog pick, but I really enjoy their raspberry bars, and you can check them out. Just go to builtbar.com and use our promo code LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your very next order. So check them out at builtbar.com or go to @built_bar on Twitter to throw in your opinions about which one you think should ultimately come out on top in this bracket. So again, that's LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your next order at builtbar.com, and check back to see who's won today's matchup and who will become the best tasting protein bar. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Unfortunately, not talking much Houston Rockets basketball tonight because Christian Wood was snubbed for the All-Star team, did not get to make it. And hey, he probably wouldn't have played even if he did get the nod because of his foot injury. But we did see via his Instagram earlier Sunday afternoon, he was getting some shots up. Things were looking pretty good. He's rocking the high top sneakers. So that's great. But we do have an All-Star game to talk about, a game that was from the jump, Chris. I thought Team LeBron was going to massacre Team Durant, and then Team Durant didn't even have Embiid, who was kind of like maybe the way that Embiid is playing at the MVP level he's at. He probably could have, you know, given them, made things a little bit more competitive. And obviously not having Durant definitely didn't help things either. But this was just, I mean, Team LeBron was in control from the jump.
Look, I mean, as you mentioned, no Durant for Team Durant, no Embiid, and then Devin Booker has to get replaced, you know, by Mike Conley. It bumps Zion up into the starting role. I mean, this was a team that you don't want to make excuses for them, but from the jump, they were playing from behind the eight ball, at least as far as I was concerned. And it also doesn't help that apparently LeBron is the greatest all-star draft captain in the history of the NBA. When you throw out a starting five of Steph and Luka and LeBron and Giannis and Jokic, I mean, who's going to beat that, honestly? If they had really tried, the all-star game could have been over by halftime. Which, I mean, for the most part, it was. But, I mean, geez, man, that – if you see those five on the other side of the court when you walk out there, just go back to the locker room, honestly.
I mean, pretty much. And it didn't help that not only – so, obviously, like, we knew this was going to be kind of a slaughter. I mean, Steph Curry definitely went off, hit eight threes. But I think the surprise was Giannis Antetokounmpo, who, again – another guy that it feels like it's tough to praise on this very podcast, but the dude didn't miss any shots. He went 16 for 16. At one point, he was still 2 for 2 from behind the three-point line. And I remember the three ball went up, and I think you had said, oh, there goes the perfect game or something like that. Like it was going to miss. And then the dude drills his third three-pointer of the night. So he finished as the All-Star game MVP, winning the Kobe Bryant Award for the MVP of this All-Star game. Rest in peace to the late Kobe Bryant, of course. Giannis walked away 35 points, 7 boards, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 16 of 16 from the floor, which is just unbelievable. Like, the dude was unconscious. I mean, getting everything he wanted. You know, again, he was only shooting from literally either 1 foot away from the rim, dunks and layups, or lobs, or the three threes that he hit. But then, like, obviously Steph Curry had himself a game to the tune of 28 points, 8 of 16 behind the arc. And then the other big contributor for Team LeBron was Damian Lillard, another guy. Why do Rockets – Chris, answer me this. Why does it seem like the Rockets fan base has beef with every other fan base? Because it kind of seems that way as I'm running through these players.
Look, man, I really don't want your listeners coming after me, so I'm going to politely decline to answer the question that you just posed, okay? let me ask this, right, for you and the rest of the Rockets fans out there. Why can't that Giannis show up in the playoffs? You know what I mean? Can we ever get a Giannis in the playoffs that doesn't falter against good competition?
I like it. You're currying favor, no pun intended, with the Rockets listenership right now. So great job on that, Chris. Dame had 32 points off the bench. Jaylen Brown was another big name off the bench with 22. It just, you know, the sequence, I think, right, to end the first half was what was so crazy to see. Not one, not two, but three different lobs to the three shortest players on Team LeBron. First, we get a lob pass to Damian Lillard for the dunk. Then we get the lob pass to Steph Curry for another dunk. And then on the next possession, we get a third and final lob pass to Chris Paul, of all people, who was still able to jump up, even in his old age, and slam the ball down. And I was going crazy after the Steph alley-oop because we got back-to-back alley-oops from the guards. And then the CP3 hadn't happened, and I think you and I both lost our minds.
Look, I'm just glad you mentioned Chris Paul, okay, because not only did he have probably the most surprising dunk of the evening, if we're being honest. But he also, it was fun to watch him engage with Harden on the defensive end all evening long, just being an absolute pest to everybody on Team Durant. And just watching Chris Paul be Chris Paul in a game that ultimately doesn't matter is just so cathartic to watch that it absolutely made my night. And yeah, I mean, and then we get the three back-to-back-to-back alley-oops, and then we get Dame and Steph finishing off the half with a couple of half-court threes. I mean, what a fun team to watch.
And I agree 110%. And not only that, right, we'd agreed that if there had been any more time left in the half, that Chris Paul absolutely would have been the next guy to step up and try and heave a half court 3-pointer in there to follow suit, so that we could have had the three lob passes in a row, lob dunks from those three guys, and then the three half court shots in a row. And then that, ultimately, not to jump ahead, right? But it was crazy. It was cool too that's how the game ended, right? Off of a Damian Lillard half court three, where he pulls up with all the confidence of like a thousand suns. Like, I don't know what, like, just I yearn to one day have be as confident in anything both of them, right? Pulling up from half court. It's ridiculous the range that some of these shooters have in today's league. You know, just kind of wrapping up that portion of the game and how things kind of wound up for, unfortunately, for Team Durant, kind of finding themselves, like you said, behind the eight ball based on how explosive that second quarter was. They kind of matched Team LeBron more or less in the third frame, and then they found themselves, you know, at this really ridiculous deficit in the fourth. But honestly, the way things opened up, Chris, with Kyrie kind of on fire, 10 very quick points, James Harden had a pair of threes off the bench as soon as he checked into the game, I kind of thought that maybe I had underestimated Team Durant. And then, of course, like, Giannis goes and has a game where he doesn't miss a single shot. Steph Curry reigns in 8 3-pointers. Like, I was confident in my decision for all of about, I was doubting my decision for all of about maybe 6 minutes to start the game. And then as soon as the second quarter kind of rolled around, I was like, yeah, no, this game's over.
Yeah, this game got so out of hand so quickly that LeBron, you know, he just took the second half off, you know, and the camera cuts to him on the sidelines, just having a little snack, watching his team, you know, Steph's turned into a cheerleader, you know, by the end of the game. And, you know, I will say this, the All-Star weekend in and of itself doesn't mean a whole lot, but what this does every single year is remind us of why we love seeing these individual players in the playoffs at the end of the season, because in the biggest stage, these are the guys that, despite all the gravity and all of the pressure that comes with being the man or in the playoffs or, you know, the team's number one option, whatever you want to call it. These are guys who consistently can perform. You know, when you have guys like Dame or Steph that we've talked about, you know, even Jokic, you know, we haven't mentioned his name yet tonight, and yet he was out there putting on just as much of a show as anybody else, just underratedly. So we saw some excellent passes from Jokic, you know, and we see Jaylen Brown hitting threes. We see Paul George coming out and hitting threes. Sabonis barely got any run in the All-Star game, but when he was out there, I mean, it's kind of hard not to make the right pass in an All-Star game, but there he was, just finding an open teammate every single time. And even on the other side, you know, on Team Durant, you know, you got Kyrie, you got Harden. These are guys, you know, Bradley Beal out there chucking threes and hitting them, Kawhi with several threes himself. You know, these are guys, you put them in the playoffs at the end of the season, and we're going to have a really good time. And I think that's what tonight served as a reminder for, at least for me personally.
And I guess one area that I want to touch on before we wrap this thing up is just the Chris Paul, the fact that he dished out 16 dimes, didn't score the ball a whole lot, only 3 of 6 shooting from the floor. But he was absolutely out there, you know, serving up assists left and right in this one. And he is now the all-time leading assist getter in All-Star game history, having just passed Magic Johnson. I don't know the totals off the top of my head, but I remember the graphic from the game. And I remember them mentioning that he officially passed Magic Johnson. So that was pretty cool to see Chris Paul getting, you know, racking up the dimes left and right in this one. And like you mentioned, him dogging everybody on Team Durant defensively, especially James Harden, who, you know, there's probably still a little bit of animosity between those two guys. Yeah, it showed them kind of dapping up before the game and whatnot, but I think Chris Paul probably still holds a little bit of a grudge for having to spend, you know, a year in Oklahoma City, a year of his playing career, you know, mentoring those young guys and not really having a legitimate shot at a title, even though they wound up being the fifth seed and being that, you know, fun, feel-good story that everybody was pulling for. They didn't have a realistic shot at a title that year, and I'm sure that Chris Paul might hold that against James Harden a little bit, you know, him being ousted from Houston unceremoniously after his, poor performing 2018-2019 season before going plant-based, something that we have hashed out numerous occasions on this very podcast. But Chris, I appreciate you taking the time to not only come over, hang out, watch the game, but to then talk about it afterwards. It has been a blast, my guy. Go ahead and let everybody know where to track you down at.
Absolutely. You can find me on Twitter at ChrisMCGMedia. As you mentioned at the beginning of the show, we'll be creating content for Apollo Media. And do you mind if I throw two things in here before you kick me out?
Absolutely. No, go for it. Throw the things in. I apologize.
First of all,
I jumped the gun.
Oh, no, you're fine. This is your show, buddy. It's your gun to jump. Thing number one, Chris Paul, still the point god, baby. Number two, and I'm gonna die on this hill if I need to. Zion Williamson needs to go plant-based, baby.
You know, that's such a good point, because we were talking about Zion lumbering throughout the game, just the way that he moves. And hey, man, you know, missing all them dunks in that first quarter, maybe plant-based Zion wouldn't be missing, you know, the first 7 dunk attempts of the game if he were to turn that ship around. But hey, man, we got Jambalaya Zion, and it's going to be hard to break him off of that, huh?
Hey, look, as long as he keeps performing the way that he's been performing during the regular season, I'll take it, man.
All right, Chris, I appreciate you taking the time to hang out, talk hoops. Always a pleasure, man.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me on, and I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, that's going to do it for today's episode. Be sure to be on the lookout for our episodes for the remainder of the week. We'll be joined by Kaylee Griffin, sideline reporter for the Houston Rockets. That's going to be a fun, exciting episode, as well as Ben DuBose to help kick off the second half of the season. There will be no Tuesday episode this week, so be sure, pointing that out right now, no Tuesday episode this week. We will be doing a Saturday episode, though, because I do want to recap both the Kings game and the Utah Jazz game after our little bit of a hiatus during the All-Star break. But for today's episode, that is going to do it. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.